I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Discover great brands like American Standard at your local Ferguson showroom.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 16 years from today, Greg Gerstner will finally land the perfect cannonball. Epic splash. Unsuspecting friends. A work of art only possible because Greg is already meeting all these same people at AARP volunteer and community events that keep him active and involved and help make sure his happiness lives as long as he does. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/local.
In a world of dry eye, there's a long-lasting solution that can save the day. Presenting Sustain Complete Preservative Free. Its unique formula gives 8 hours of relief from the common symptoms of dry eye. Sustain Complete. Open your eyes to lasting relief.
Listening on 93.3 Real Talk Radio. Thanks for doing so. Be safe out there. Get to where you're going. If you're listening online, watching perhaps on War Chant TV there, the YouTube feed, thanks for doing that. Thanks for being in the Heisen Lincoln Law Firm chat room. That's dedicated to representing clients statewide is Heisen Lincoln Law Firm. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. No cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, name you can trust for justice. 813-803-0733. You can visit the website as well, HeisenLincolnLawFirm.com. Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices Tampa. So we are the precursor to the big game beginning at 3 o'clock. Obviously, we will lead you up to first pitch, and then we will sit down and watch just as you will, and we will do so nervously. We will also reflect on yesterday's big win here in a second. Happy Juneteenth to you, all of you out there celebrating. Tom, same to you, buddy. Today, for those that don't know, marks the day when Union troops, some later called the Armed Missionaries of a Great Redemption, arrived in Galveston, Texas in 1865 with the news of freedom for the enslaved people there. 2 years, by the way, 2 years after President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. So we celebrate that. We say a hearty rest in peace to Willie Mays, who passed yesterday after we were off the air. Willie Mays, say hey, kid. Most agree is the greatest center fielder of all time. Many would tell you that he was the greatest baseball player of all time. And I was, as I have been for many years with baseball, curious, wanted to dive deep and take a look at some of those other numbers that aren't so obvious. And, you know, his career kindles the curiosity. And if you go through, you know, the Mays story, it is pretty amazing. Tom, 24 All-Star games for Willie Mays. Ted Williams once said about the All-Star game, they were invented for Willie Mays. And we won't ever see anybody get close to that, I don't think. Making every All-Star game for two decades, it's hard to make them for a decade straight. Barry Bonds never did it. Shohei Ohtani may not do it. Mike Trout did do it, but you know, obviously he's not going to do it for two decades. It's just, it's insane to think about. You have to be, for starters, healthy. You have got to be healthy for what seems like forever. It's really quite insane. 660 home runs. Willie Mays was the second player in baseball history to clear the 600 home run threshold. Babe Ruth was the first. And I would contend that Willie Mays would have hit over 700 home runs. Military service for Willie Mays in 1952 after being drafted during the Korean War. He didn't return to Major League Baseball until 1954. And a note here, Mays had instant success in the major leagues when he got called up in 1951 as a rookie. In fact, he won Rookie of the Year, hit 274, 20 home runs, stole seven bases in 121 games. And that was his first year. And then immediately he gets drafted. He misses two full seasons to the war. So he ended his career with 660 home runs. He would have gotten, I think, we can certainly guess, given his relative health for his entire career, he would have surpassed 700 home runs.
Well, certainly if he played in a different ballpark than Candlestick, too. That's, I mean, we see how difficult it is to hit in San Francisco, generally speaking. I've driven by where Candlestick Park was. I know you have as well. It's right on the water there. The marine layer effect is still there, ever present. I'm sure he got cheated on a few that way. The thing that's so remarkable to me about Willie Mays, and my dad calls him the best player he ever saw, and he watched him play in Brooklyn before they moved, which is just
insane. It's crazy to think about. It's my dad's favorite player too, by the way.
He's watched Jackie Robinson play against Willie Mays with his own eyes. All right, Dad, you've been around. You've seen a couple things. Is that he was analytics and spray charts before that existed. Willie Mays would organize where everybody stood for every single batter, and he understood what pitches were going to be delivered, where he should shade. It wasn't just about the five tools, and he was excellent at all five tools. The tool between his ears was like having an advanced scouting department some 70 years ago. It's unbelievable.
Some suggested, although this is debated amongst all people, but you'll hear the phrase used that somebody has a photographic memory. He has been a guy that was described in that way, and in the way that he kept track of every pitch he ever saw from any pitcher. So if he saw that guy a year later, oh, this is the dude that threw the slider on 1-1, you know, like that kind of, and that would explain that kind of unreal success. 12 Gold Glove awards. That's the most of any center fielder in history. Los Angeles Dodgers executive Fresco Thompson once said that Mays's glove, we've all heard this phrase, was a place where triples go to die. In addition to all of that, the late, great Buck O'Neill said, there were faster men in baseball, but not with the ball in the air, which is a pretty cool way of describing Willie Mays' inability to track. He died at the age of 93, 2 days before Major League Baseball comes to Birmingham, Alabama, to play a game at Rickwood Field in his honor, which is going to be really neat. I wish he would have made it, but he was aware of it. He was certainly aware of it where he grew up, the old ballpark where he played. So pretty neat to think about that. So we say rest in peace to him. And so now we get to the aspect of the nerves that we feel right now, perhaps. And that would be Florida State won yesterday, everybody, in case you're unaware. And yeah, I'm slightly surprised that they did. They got a Herculean effort from Armstrong that I didn't see coming. Hadn't pitched, 3.5 weeks, and really not a guy you depended on. But he did showcase something yesterday that is a friendly reminder to all that if you locate your pitches, you don't have to throw 95. You can throw 86, 84, 82, 80. He did in the innings that he tracked, and it frustrated North Carolina. Other than the back-to-back doubles, he really looked to be in complete control, and they were able to navigate it. And give a lot of credit to Holtz, who bounced back and went out there and really had his strongest outing. And it was something to behold. They needed it, and they got it. And we give them all the credit in the world. Still, as of right now, now maybe something's changed, Tom, since we jumped on. I have not seen just yet, but I asked. In fact, let me check my phone here while we're on the air. I think, guys, that it's going to be Abraham. I think that's who it's going to be today to start the game. We're in another delicate situation where they've got to figure out the order they want to do this and who's available today and who's not. And obviously you're facing an elite lineup, but I believe they're going to begin. This is an educated guess. Trust me on this. I believe they're going to go with Abraham. So we'll see. He hasn't pitched yet. Has he that I'm aware of? I haven't seen him pitch in this post. Well, meaning at the College World Series.
No, they've warmed him up a couple of times, but they haven't brought him in as yet. And yeah, on the marquee today, sometimes they tip their hand on social media when they put up a game day graphic. It's Marco Dinges on the graphic, not a pitcher. So Florida State does want to wait until that last possible second. It's about more than who opens the game for you. You know, in today's circumstance, you wonder if there's a big name that comes out of the pen for some period of time. And that big name is Jamie Arnold. And in Major League Baseball terms, he's on schedule. He's on normal rest today from a Friday to a Wednesday. But of course, this is not major leagues. And you know what? MLB is now shuffling in a six-man rotation more often. That's becoming in vogue. So do you allow Jamie to throw a quote-unquote side session bullpen today for 25 to 30 pitches that just happens to be on the mound on that field in Omaha? And this is his side session before he would be available if you were able to climb to the summit of the mountain and do this thing and get into that best of three. That remains to be seen. But I think it's wise to not start Jamie Arnold in this situation and see how the game unfolds, given that you couldn't expect a full 100 pitches out of Jamie. That would be totally unreasonable in the way that college pitchers are handled. So the shuffling of the arms, who's available? I mean, Link said it yesterday again after the win, the 9-5 win. Don't ask me. I got no idea. You know it's not going to be Holtz. You know it's not going to be Armstrong. Doubt it's going to be Whitaker. He didn't have much yesterday. I would think if he's going to pitch, it would be tomorrow, Connor Whitaker, that is. So process of elimination. I don't think Dorsey would be available today. So it's Abraham, blank, and then hopefully Arnold. And don't let us get to tomorrow. Let me get that in there. Don't let us wake up tomorrow and still be playing baseball.
I'll tell you what, man. I think the climb is really a difficult one. The terrain is rocky and steep, but it's not impossible. So, you know, I thought it would be tough sledding yesterday. Just because I didn't think you'd get that kind of a performance from Armstrong. And I'm glad that he proved me wrong. He was effective, very, very effective. And then, of course, the bats have been along for the ride in every game. And you're going to need that again today, because this is a Tennessee team that if you don't have your best arms out there, as we well know, hell with your best arms out there, they hit. They're a lot like us. These are the two best offenses out in Omaha. And so you're going to need another guy to give you something above and beyond what we're expecting. The one thing that we have been very consistent with and has shown up big the entirety of the postseason has been the sticks, and it's been 1 through 9, and they've all hit. I mean, think about this offense right now with the gaudy numbers that lead the way out in Omaha, and your best two hitters have hardly hit. I mean, you really haven't had those guys doing a lot of damage. And I'm talking about Tibbs and Cam. They're not hitting the baseball anywhere close to the level they were hitting the baseball for the vast majority of this season. And, you know, not out in Omaha anyhow. And so, you know, that just tells you how wrought with danger it must feel for opposing pitchers to look at this lineup and say, really? All right. They're not even hitting their stride with their two best hitters. Everybody else is doing major damage. It's not like I can pitch around these guys right now. In fact, I got to pitch to them because they're the guys I can get out. It's crazy. If they start hitting, yeah, man, who knows? Who knows? If you get those two guys going 3 for 5, home run and a double or something like that, you start mixing that in to go with what everybody else is doing. Sweet Jesus, Florida State already prolific. Will probably tick up into the 12 to 13 run a game number. It's been crazy to watch.
Yeah, and Cam was more consistent earlier on in this postseason than Tibbs was, but Tibbs was the guy who helped punch the ticket, who did, you know, put the final stamp on the paper to punch the ticket for Florida State to get to Omaha. And I think obviously to get to a best of three series, you'd have to have some symmetry there or a parallel storyline where it's Cam Smith and it's James Tibbs that help push you through. I don't foresee you winning two games against Tennessee with them going 2 for 10 with a couple of walks and no home runs. Like, it just, it's gonna have to come at some point. But the other part of the equation is I don't think we're scared of Tennessee pitching anywhere in that lineup. It's not as though you clear the third or the fourth spot in the order if you're a Florida State fan and say it's hopeless. You don't feel that way at all. Rallies have started from everywhere in this lineup. It's just you need the big boppers to be the big boppers.
It's funny you bring that up because I think the tendency, we bring this up, the psychology of people in sport in general, we tend to hyper-focus on the things we don't do well, and we compare and contrast what we don't do well to what others do well. And so it's you can get into that rut, and I often do when I'm thinking about a matchup that I desperately want to win, where all I see is Tennessee's offense. I see those bats. I see those players. I see those numbers. They jump off the page. If you're a Tennessee fan, certainly you're looking at Florida State, and you know by rights you should have lost the game to them the first time you faced them, and you saw the damage that they've done not only to your pitching staff but to every other pitching staff. You're a Tennessee fan, you're looking at Florida State's offense today going, really? I would have liked for them to have gotten knocked off yesterday. If you're a Tennessee fan, you're saying, I'd much rather have played North Carolina. They didn't offer this much of a challenge. Florida State's going to be a problem. And so you're right, Tom. It's important to bring that up. Their pitching hasn't been dominant and not overwhelming in any way. And we've faced better pitching and clubbed it. So you're right. There's the other side of that, too. You could go into this game going, maybe we don't, you know, throw up a bunch of empty innings. Maybe we don't have, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 innings at a time in which we don't give up runs. Maybe we are giving up 4 and 5 runs before the fifth inning, but there's nothing that says so far that we won't also match that number, if not surpass it, offensively ourselves. This could very well be a 7-5 type ball game in the fifth inning today. I absolutely could see that scenario.
Yeah, I just like how we keep pushing and keep pushing. We know what the drill is. The lineup knows the task at hand here. Is 6 runs for the first 6 innings isn't enough. You scored 11 last week, and it wasn't enough. You need to keep going. So you can't take it easy at any point mentally. You cannot rest at any point. And I thought that was one of the key scenarios yesterday, was getting the back-to-back home runs to push us into a situation where we're up 9-5 with 3 outs to go. That changes the dynamic completely of how Holtz goes out there to earn the game, finish the game for us. If it's a 2-run ball game at that point, you know, first sign of trouble, you wonder about here we go again energy, but the bats understood. You turned over the lineup, Jackson West, and then Max Williams, as Link Jarrett said, hits it into a 30-mile-an-hour wind. I didn't know that it was possible, but he did barely get it over that fence in that unbelievable wind. That's the assignment here, is to keep pushing. There is no stop, he's already dead. No, he's not. Keep killing him.
It's funny you bring it up. I feel like when they hit those 2 home runs yesterday, I thought it was absolutely huge. I do admire the cojones on Max Williams to stand there and admire a home run that got out by an inch. my man is just pimping a ball that wasn't ticketed for the street. I mean, this ball really looked like a ball that might hit the top of the wall with him standing at home plate, because it's a line shot, but he knows that ballpark. Kudos, I will say, they have figured this out. Omaha, the Schwab, it's played like a very fair and true baseball stadium. It rewards honest-to-goodness power. You put a good swing on a ball, you get it out of there. I mean, hell, you got a home run, just his third yesterday from Jackson West. So you can, if you put a good swing on the ball, you can get it out of there. But no cheapies. You're not getting any of this end of the bat, happen to fly, hit a jet stream, leave the yard. you know, nonsense, glorified pop-ups that are, you know, we're watching guys drift and drift and drift like we did in the regionals. And none of that, none of that. You got to earn this. You got to hit the ball hard somewhere if you're going to make the play. And then the other, if you're going to get the hit. And the other part of that is that it makes you, it exposes you a little bit, unfortunately for us, in certain situations in the outfield, just because there's so much ground to cover. But Florida State hits the ball, they hit a lot of line drives, and they make a ton of contact, and they give themselves opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because they have good at-bats. And they're going to need to have great at-bats today, and I'm with you. Florida State could have 10 runs in the – it could be 10 to nothing in the fifth, and nobody's going to say this is over. You're not going to, because you know you have very limited arms. You've got very tired arms of the people that you're going to bring out there as this game goes on. And you're just not sure you can get the requisite outs. Now, you won't have to remind them of it because the team that came back from 3 in the ninth is who you're facing. The jersey who did the damage is across from you. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Something really fascinating, again, and it bears repeating. I've brought it up a lot because I want us to be mindful of it as we watch these games. I know what happens. You know, these games elicit an emotion. Every pitch, you hang on every pitch. Baseball's great for drama because of the very nature of the game, the pace of the game. There's a lot of buildup, and Tom and I have talked about that quite a bit. It's one of the things I love about the game. It's one of the things I love about regular season baseball as opposed to postseason baseball, all these things. But, yeah, with every pitch, you've got time to think about a lot of results. And we're always projecting these results of what we want compared to what has to happen and the situation. And what can get lost in all of this is a reminder that Florida State is one of four teams that remain in college baseball right now. They have made it to the Final Four. Florida State has. And that, you know, is remarkable. I mean, think about the mental fortitude and toughness it takes to have endured the entire season that group did a year ago. Many of the kids, obviously, on this team went through that, where the day-to-day existence had to have sucked for fierce competitors to be on the wrong end of a lot of results, many stretches in which it didn't look like you were ever going to win another game. I mean, just loss after loss after loss, some of them just non-competitive. And to then fast forward to where this team is this year and having the season that they've had and that they're having is remarkable. And then you can do it in the real time, in the now, to have lost the game that they did to Tennessee in the manner in which they lost that game. The most amount of heartbreak that could be inflicted was because you had it on the one hand, two different times during that game, you're in total control. Then you have, on the other hand, the collapse, also a missed third strike. So you feel like, in addition to losing the lead and not making enough winning plays, you also kind of got screwed. So you had all the elements that add up to immense frustration. And it's the kind of thing that carries over. Yeah, human nature is human nature. Your coaches will tell players and players will tell themselves time and again that, hey, you know, I got to play the next play. Tomorrow's another day, whatever cliche you want to use. But we're all obviously emotional creatures. Things happen and they affect our moods. And when something disastrous happens and you think about, you're already up against it with your pitching staff and now you're in the loser's bracket because of this disaster, it's easy to go out there and kind of go through the motions and lie to yourself and tell yourself that you're locked in and focused and playing as hard as you possibly can and playing with an intense passion when you're really not. You're really not, because you haven't gotten past something just yet. But they haven't done that. They haven't done that in the slightest. They have played from the jump after that a very high level and brand of baseball. They got better defensively after game one. They've been better really in every facet. The at-bats have been strong, have been smart. They've done a lot of things very, very well and executed their way to winning these games. So, you know, I maybe they win today. Would not be shocked if they did. I said that yesterday. I said I'd be surprised if they were able to come out of the loser's bracket and get to the championship round. Yes, I will stand by that. That would be a surprise given their pitching or lack of depth in the pitching staff. But I would not be shocked in an individual game when they win it. And that remains true, too, both of yesterday's game and maybe even today. I won't be shocked if they win today's game because the offense, it's traveled. The toughness, physically and mentally, it's been there. And they've been unwavering. And this gets to why I said before they got to Omaha and before the postseason started that I think it's inevitable that a Link Jarrett-led Florida State baseball program is going to win the national championship at some point. If not this year, down the road, they will win a national championship under Link Jarrett because I believe that that attention to detail, that intensity of focus, that ability to get players to lock in, buy in, listen, improve, play the next play, do all of the things necessary to prepare yourself for success is something that will carry over. They're just getting started is really what I'm saying. They're just getting started. He's in year two, and this is a team that is one of only four that remain in the College World Series, or they've reached the Final Four of the College World Series. That's nuts to think about. I know you're aware of this. This isn't to condescend. I know you're aware of this, but let's remind each other of how insane it is that this team, this program, off the rails bad a year ago, is now one of four teams that remain in the College World Series. It's just unreal, the accomplishment. And it's not done. They may win the whole damn thing. We'll see. We'll see. Again, I think it's a tough climb. I'd be surprised, but I certainly wouldn't be shocked. And it won't be because they're lackadaisical or won't be because they're unfocused or what. No, no, they'll have the game plan in play. They'll be locked in. Somebody's going to have to knock them out of this thing, and they're going to have to beat them. It won't be because of dumbassery.
And I doubt it will be because of shutdown starting pitching either. It's just it's hard to envision if we saw what the best Tennessee had to offer. I mean, I think it was about their fourth or fifth kid that they went through that looked pretty good relative to the other ones, like that they started and Stamos and the other kid who comes in and did the squats before every pitch. We're not afraid of any of those guys. You're not going to hold back if you're Tennessee in that situation and on a Friday to start in Omaha and say, well, we're going to save our best arm for Sunday. So we saw the best that they have. That doesn't scare you. The confidence of this group now at this point versus where they were on Saturday after they lost the way that they did, it's all the way back. I mean, they have to have a team of destiny feel. A lot of teams have that feeling in their locker room or their clubhouse that they're the team of destiny and they go home and they don't win the whole thing. Everybody feels like they're destined to do something. Every fan base does. But, you know, also on Sunday, this time around in Omaha, I think this group, Florida State, was unsure of itself. And they found a way to play some very good baseball. Carson Dorsey allowed them to have time in the scope of the 27 ounce to gain their confidence back and so forth. And so they did. And then they play in this game against North Carolina and they take it to the Tar Heels. I think you're absolutely right. It would be crazy to me if this offense produces three runs or fewer today. You know, like I can't envision anything that low. Even five in some ways feels very low for how this offense plays, but a bunch of double plays or something along those lines can hinder you. This group is extremely confident and you just need to find a way to engineer some outs. And you're also going to have to get lucky. That's what happens this time of year. There are several situations in every College World Series run. There's two on, one out. You get a double play, a line drive right at the second baseman. He steps on the bag, end of the inning. Oh, wow. Can you believe how they got out of that? You're going to need probably two of those innings today where the play-by-play voice as he sends it to Brick says, how did they get out of that one? That's what you need. But if you get there and you do that and you let us play tomorrow on a Thursday, oh, buddy, Tennessee will be the one sweating bullets the entire game. We won't be sweating at all.
Well, that is exactly right. Again, I feel like you're playing with house money here. And I've said that before, that you don't have anything to lose. This is above and beyond any expectation that any fan or really reasonable, fair-minded fan anyhow could have had before this season. Not on the heels of what you just saw a year ago. It'd be tough to, with a straight face, say, I really suspect they're going to win the national championship. They're real close to winning the national championship. We'll mention that I did think they'd be good. After all, the bet on Florida State to get to the College World Series was made. That's how much I believe in Link, though. That's less about me being omniscient and in great at wagering, although sometimes that's true, too. This was much more about what I've heard from, what I've learned from, and what I've listened to with Link Jarrett. That dude has, he's got it all right now, and it's exciting to watch. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Guess we should maybe mention, you've probably already seen it by now. I don't know if we want to get, it seemed like a whole lot of nothing for us to get into here, Tom, about the Judge Cooper's here. He's denied counts 2 and 3 of the Atlantic Coast Conference's motion to dismiss a lawsuit brought by Florida State. I think we thought that was going to happen, right?
Yeah, 3 for 3 there that he denied. I did watch, more than I wanted to, about 3-4 hours of the stream yesterday.
I'm going to defer to you because I'm going to tell the world something here. I didn't watch 30 seconds of it. You watched 3 to 4 hours of it. So please, anything that you want to lend to the conversation, I'm all ears because I didn't think much would happen that didn't happen, right?
Well, I didn't have to at least sit in a hard church pew bench for 9 hours like Aslan did and be stenographer. But what I took out of it was you could tell. I mean, like, basically what Judge Cooper did in late April was say to Florida State, this is no good. You got to explain yourself a little bit more. You got to amend this complaint. Go back home and fix up your work, and then we can proceed. Like, that's how I took it. Is it's not like he's trying to help Florida State's lawyers, but I think he wanted to make sure that Florida State's lawyers presented a case that he could move through the ranks. And yesterday was about arguing to dismiss the lawsuit, which I don't think was ever going to happen. And Judge Cooper, interesting guy. The ruling took about an hour. We'll go with thorough. We'll go with that. Yeah,
very, very thorough. We know that. We've had those conversations with Tom Quitz.
Yeah, exactly. Very thorough. He didn't want to do a written ruling because those take longer to turn around. He wanted to do a verbal ruling, so that's what he did yesterday. And the first motion that came down around 3:30, which was, again, during the middle of a rally for Florida State, was a dismissal of the motion for personal a denial of the motion to dismiss for personal jurisdiction, which is to say, yeah, Florida can still do this thing. Motions 2 and 3 were denied, and then there are more motions apparently from the ACC, but those are going to be handled via electronic means. So they called it a day. Florida State went 3 for 3 in getting the denials that they were hoping to get. Yep. This thing's going to proceed in the state of Florida. So long story short, it's on track. It took longer than it was supposed to. We shouldn't have had this nearly 2-month delay, but it's back on track, I would imagine.
So this was what I brought up the last time we had this conversation. It's what we've brought up a lot. That initially everybody gets fired up. We're all pumped up. The very nature of this clash interests us. We have a lot on the line, so we're all going to be locked in, but you're in a race to do nothing. It's like running to the red light and then just, okay. You've got a lot of these things that take forever, and the system's slow. It just is. And you're going to get these days where you think something of significance is happening, but as it pertains to Florida State's ability to leave the ACC and how close are we to that end? We're a long ways off. We're a long ways off, I think, is the way of saying it. I mean, and I don't mean like, what happened yesterday tells me that it's going to be 4 years. I'm not suggesting that. No. Just that the process moves very slowly and you're not going to have a haymaker of sorts where you go, there it is. That's it. Right. You know, we're not DiCaprio jumping off the couch meme here. It's just, okay, we knew this was going to be what happened. This is the next baby step. There'll be another baby step in return. Then there's another one and another one. And next thing you know, we're in the middle of next football season and nothing's come close to being resolved. The big news will be the moment that they decide to head to mediation.
Yeah, it's not going to be settled in a courtroom setting like this. You're not going to have your day where they walk out in the front court steps and say, we did it. It's just, if it gets to that point, I'll be in my 40s, you'll be in your 60s, and we'll be dead poor, broke at Florida State, and so it won't make a difference. So it's going to be about the settlement. But I did find the interesting thing, legally speaking, the argument yesterday that Judge John Cooper took most to heart was about the fact that business was conducted in the state of Florida. Like, that was the key argument that Florida State would make for him to say, all right, I've got something that I can run with here for the ruling. It's that, hey, man, these games are broadcast out of the state of Florida. Florida State built a studio to execute the broadcasts of these games. These are, by and large, home games that Florida State has that are valuable to the ACC. So you may believe that North Carolina is a proper forum, but your representatives came to the state of Florida to secure the business from the state of Florida. You don't have to have an office down here, ACC, in order for you to be conducting business in the state of Florida. And so in that spirit, since business is being conducted in Tallahassee, and he kept throwing Miami in there too, to try and make it not an FSU specific thing. Since you're conducting business in this state very much is an appropriate forum to hear this lawsuit. And that's why he went the way that he did.
By the way, I want to point to something here. I was on a show called Big Sports Radio. If you type in Big Sports Radio, June 14th preview, Jeff Cameron or something like that. I wanted to look that up. I was trying to find it where I talked to two gentlemen that cover the Big Ten exclusively. And they are very good at what they do. It was an enjoyable conversation that I had with those two gentlemen. And for anybody that wants to hear, a much more involved opinion about what I think is going to happen, a much more kind of back and forth between me and some guys that cover the Big Ten, you can find that on YouTube. Maybe I'll, during the break, Tom, I'll find it and send it over to you or whatever. You can post it up there. But the reason I bring it up is they asked a ton of questions about where I think Florida State ends up and what they think and the people that they talk to in the Big Ten, et cetera. And it was fascinating. I will tell you, I'll boil it down to this. Neither of them thought Clemson would ever end up in the Big Ten. That's fascinating. As we talked about that, somebody, they're like, no, it's highly unlikely that Clemson would ever be invited to the Big Ten.
Well, this is the whole thing. We've talked about this. You know, the rumors about the B1G are hot and heavy, and it would make so much sense for them to complete the square, so to speak, you know, in terms of their coverage map. They would have a new footprint that they did not have before. It unifies their brand that they already have with a new footprint and the West Coast. They control all time zones. They control all demographics. Mm-hmm. It's a win for the B1G. So it would make a ton of sense for them to want us. It just comes down to if and when mediation is done and the settlement is there, Florida State's going to have a decision to make. I don't think it's just going to be that the SEC and ESPN don't pick up the phone at that point, don't reach out and extend their arm. This is going to be like 32 years ago or 33 years ago all over again, where at the 11th hour, Florida State had a chance to go to the SEC instead of the ACC. I think they're going to have that choice again. It may not exist in the present moment in terms of backroom, you know, agreements, but the SEC is going to give Florida State a chance to say no to it. It's just we got to get to that place where the ACC is willing to say, all right, no mas, no mas.
Yeah, I think the better way of phrasing that is that ESPN will invite Florida State to join the SEC, just as Fox has allegedly invited Florida State to join the Big Ten. That's really what we're getting at. The only other aspect of this that I think would be fascinating, infinitely fascinating, love to be a fly on the wall to watch the negotiation, because I do think there'll be a form of a negotiation between the two entities, between ESPN and Fox, about who gets what and why. And I it's almost like, you know, you got the rich and powerful in a back room, you know, CEOs of big business, and they're saying, okay, look, we all stand to make a lot of money here. We're all going to do very, very well. But I think you know that we strongly desire this asset, and this asset. How do we make this work? Yeah, well, we too are fond of those assets. Now, perhaps we would part with asset one if you agree that we are able to do whatever for the college football playoff. You know, all of these different bargaining chips that go to the middle of the table probably happening in a way that really does not see any one person for Florida State making a decision of this magnitude. It's a network.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these power players see each other at the same country clubs. They see each other at the same poker table. They see wherever, you know, at Churchill Downs every year. For example, look at golf. This may not end up getting pushed through, but Jay Monahan, who's on the desk of CBS and says, did you ever have to apologize for playing on the PGA Tour? went and played golf with the Saudis behind everybody's back to cut a deal with the Saudis, the people he was demonizing, in order to ensure a merger and the success of his PGA Tour. These people at this level are all friends. They just pick up the phone. They work together for the NFL. They work together for any number of other sports. So why wouldn't they do so for college football? I would agree with you. Conversations will be had.
I think they're probably already having those conversations. I think it's they have to be very careful. Nobody wants to get sued. We understand that. And yeah, I don't believe there's been a formal offer. I agree with you. I don't think like
there can't Fox be.
Or ESPN is, yeah. No, there can't be, right? They're going to be very, very careful. But it's understood to use the analogy. They're on the golf course, you know, waiting on the golf cart girl to come around and they're ordering a drink. And, you know, Bob says to Larry, so which would you rather have? Florida State or Clemson? Because, you know, we're getting one of those assets. They cheers. And then they order a drink. And then somebody says, well, I know how long you guys have been itching to have this, this, and this. Maybe we can work something up. Maybe you're up. Your box.
There's one talking point that's circulating again that's tired, and that's, well, what would Florida have to say about that? Can we please stop it's with not, that?
Florida doesn't have a say at all.
No.
The University of Florida. Irony here, again, I'll say this for everybody, and this, yes, you're right. It gets so old to listen to this.
Example for crying out loud, A&M was outvoted and outgunned when they were promised Texas would never come to the SEC.
Yes, of course, we're well past some antiquated handshake deal that was made at a table 35 years ago. I mean, this is not, we're not doing that. We're not playing that game. The athletic directors in the irony here again is that the more power that the schools in the Big Two gain because of their financial windfalls means the less say, or you could use the word power, the athletic directors at those institutions have. They don't have a say. As the school makes more money, as they become a greater, higher profile entity in the world of college football than they already were, every time that moves up the ladder, the sway, the authority, the decision making is diminished. It's taken from the hands of those in a powerful position at the university. It's out of their hands. So, that's a long-winded way of me saying, I don't care if Florida's jumping up and down, protesting and yelling at the top of their lungs that you can't have Florida State here. You already have us. Shut up. You don't matter. You don't have a say. Silence. You sound like a petulant child. You don't have a say. Zero say.
It's not like you've been winning a ton of games with them not in the conference. So what's the difference? If you're worried about a competitive advantage in football specifically, you've had that advantage. And, well, look at that schedule that's upcoming. It's going to be another grab ankles kind of year. So what difference does it make to you?
Yeah, can you imagine that conversation? But we don't want Florida State here. That's duly noted. No, but I don't think you're hearing me. Oh, we hear you loud and clear. You've got things to worry about. Try to win some football games.
It's like those people who do those videos, the SEC videos, their characters, you know, they're wearing the shirts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, A&M's over here bloodletting, and they're like, well, that's what they said to us about the Longhorns. So I don't want to hear it as they're pouring their blood into a vial before they do some sort of rebel yell.
They've got to be irate. I mean, but A&M really not a longstanding member, to say the least, had no pushback. There was nothing they could do. But you said is what they could do. But you said. Yes.
You know, Florida, who says you said a lot? Jim Phillips. That's who says, but you said. Do you want to be Jim Phillips?
Yeah, if it wasn't abundantly clear that we don't tell the truth around here. As a commissioner of the SEC, numerous times outwardly told the world that they weren't going to continue to expand and or go into other conferences and ask for those members. Then, like a week later, did it. You know, yes. Oh, the Alliance, got it. Sure thing. Yes, yes. We here at the Big Ten, we understand. We won't continue to try to elevate our status and grab new members, gain more power, accrue assets that lead to a larger television deal in the future. We won't do it because it's not good for the game of football. We are with you. We're against this SEC, this behemoth that's trying to ruin the game, that's already destroyed the Big 12. We won't do it. Next day, Washington and Oregon, come on down. Got to keep up with the Joneses, everybody. Hey, Jim, I know what I said yesterday, but I was lying. I was lying, Jim, and I want you to know before the press finds out that Oregon has said yes. So too has Washington. We'll be announcing them early next week. Silence on the other end, Jim. But Jim, when are you going to wake up? Nobody's told you the truth yet. They've lied to you, you're weak, and they've gone and done the opposite. Next time somebody tells you something that you think is in the ACC's best interest, it's probably not true. Bend over.
Jim, I'm the only friend you got right now. You don't like the way I'm talking to you, but I'm the only friend you got because I'm spitting the truth. I'm telling you what nobody else will because they just want to use you, Jim. By the way, congratulations on another swimming and diving national championship for your conference. I know that means a lot to you.
By the way, also, don't think I didn't notice the other day. I was on a flight when I was getting a handshake from USC and UCLA to join the conference that lacrosse continues to perform. You've done an excellent job in your time there to watch lacrosse rise through the ranks. It's glorious. Hour number two, forthcoming. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Florida State baseball just an hour away. We'll get you there. We'll all exhale and we'll hold on.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Discover great brands like Electrolux at your local Ferguson showroom.
In a world of dry eye, there's a long-lasting solution that can save the day. Presenting Sustain Complete Preservative Free. Its unique formula gives 8 hours of relief from the common symptoms of dry eye. So say goodbye to dry, tired, irritated, sore, burning, stinging, and watery eyes. And say hello to multi-symptom relief. Available in a store near you, Sustain Complete. Open your eyes to lasting relief.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.